Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
We're continuing our series this morning on the book of Nehemiah. We're on Nehemiah chapter 3, and this chapter is very interesting, and we are going to see some leadership principles of getting a task done, and these principles help you move the ball down the field, help you get things done. And I've, from an early time in my ministry, was a kind of a student of leadership and wanting to be the best leader I could and understand the principles of leadership. In my office, in my library, I have a whole section, a whole shelf of leadership books. And some of them are very good that I've read, and some, one I read with my accountability partner, others I've led staffs through, and just being a student of leadership, being as effective as possible with the task that God has given, has just really been something that I've always been very interested in, kind of a student of leadership. But listen to this, there is no book that we could read that would show us true leadership, true godly leadership, than the Word of God. Because contained in the pages of the Word of God show us what a godly leader is and how they act. And this chapter in Nehemiah chapter 3 is going to show us exactly how Nehemiah went about the task of leading the people of God to rebuild the wall around the city so that their city would no longer be in disgrace. So if you have your Bible, open it up to Nehemiah chapter 3, and we are going to read from there. And if you don't have a Bible with you, you can use the pew Bible in the pew in front of you. It's on page number 413 in your pew Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one of our pew Bibles so that you could take it home and have one. And that would be our gift to you. And you could just take it right away with not feeling any guilt, like you took something that wasn't yours. And nothing like that. It would be our pleasure to give you one of our pew Bibles. So if you have found your place in Nehemiah chapter 3, we're going to read just the first few verses, again, page 413 on in your pew Bible. So would you please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Nehemiah chapter 3. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work to rebuild the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hasenai. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Miramoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshuzlam, son of Barakai, the son of Meshe'abel, made repairs next to him. Zadok, son of Bani, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulder to the work under their supervisors. Now, how would you like to read those names in front of a crowd? Those are challenging. And the book, this chapter, continues on with many more names and many more families about the people that worked on rebuilding the wall, and they are commemorated here in this chapter in the book, in the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter 3. So let's pray as we look into this chapter. Father, we want to thank you for this time you've given us to sing your praises, Father, to be in your word. And I pray, Father, earnestly pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear from you today, and Father, that you would identify things that we could do as we apply these principles of leadership in our own lives. So, Father, we thank you, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the task before them was huge, to rebuild the wall that had laid broken down for decades, about 2 miles of wall, and they rebuilt it in 52 days. It was an amazing task. They rebuilt the walls and the towers and the gates. And in this chapter, they go into quite some detail. Nehemiah goes into detail about who did what section, who did what tower, who did which gate. And it's very detailed, and it's actually very interesting. There are some people that would skip right over Nehemiah chapter 3 because it has all these hard names to pronounce, and it just seems like just a list of people and what they did, and it kind of gets into this flow, and people that skip over chapter 3 really miss a blessing because there are some clear principles of leadership found within these pages. And so our study of Nehemiah will definitely include chapter 3. The first thing I want you to see from this passage is the leadership principle of coordination. The leadership principle of coordination. This job that God had given Nehemiah to lead was huge, and it was much bigger than he could do by himself. And it took someone coordinating and leading the way. And for this to be done, it would have to have some strong leadership is guided by God. Nehemiah was the one who heard that the walls were still broken down. It broke his heart, and he had a passion to see it rebuilt. Remember, he talked to the king, and the king said, "You can take what you need," and he even got the resources to get the job done. And once arriving on the scene, he surveyed the damage to see how extensive it was and developed a plan to get the wall rebuilt. You can see Nehemiah is strategically going through the steps to get this project done. And then he cast a vision for the people that were already there, and they said, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall. Let's get started." And what happens here in chapter 3 is they start rebuilding. And Nehemiah has got this specific plan about where people are going to work and what they're going to do in order to accomplish the task of rebuilding the wall. This was not the people of God standing back saying, "Nehemiah, go for it. We're behind you." It was everybody getting involved, and it was everybody doing their part. And it needed this coordination, it needed this leadership, and Nehemiah was the one that had a plan. And Nehemiah's plan was this: he clearly assigned sections of the wall, sections of the job, to different people. And as you read through Nehemiah chapter 3, it has this term, "next to them" or "after them." And what Nehemiah is doing is he is describing the city starting at the 12 o'clock position up around in the north part of the city. And in a counterclockwise fashion, he is describing who is doing the work all the way around the city. Because it was 2 miles of wall, it was just an amazing job with the towers and the gates and everything that had been broken down needed to be put back in place. And listen, they weren't working with tools, and they weren't working with John Deere tractors or things. I remember when we went over to Mariana after the Hurricane Michael came through, and we were helping clean up some of the debris that Casey helped us set up, and we were using chainsaws, and we were using John Deere tractors, and I actually enjoyed driving a tractor for a while. Adam let me drive his tractor, and I got pretty handy with it. And it was nice to have that kind of tool. And afterwards, he even gave me a John Deere hat because apparently I was so proficient with it, I needed a John Deere hat, right? But these, the people of God, didn't have access to those kind of motorized tools. I mean, they had very rudimentary things, and the walls and the towers and the gates were burned, and they're all in rubble all around. So this was a lot of manual labor using leverage as their friend, putting the walls back together, literally stone by stone, and just fitting the wall back together. And it was also something, as you read through chapter 3, that it was people with certain expertise were put in certain locations, certain towers and certain places that needed roofing. Those were done by skilled people, but everyone was involved in the process. And listen, there were people that there are goldsmiths and other trades mentioned here, and they're on the wall. It wasn't that they were doing only what they could do. It was everybody was involved in this. So there was expertise, but it wasn't limited to their expertise. Everybody was there, and Nehemiah did something really interesting. In order for them to have ownership of their section, he assigned people the section of the wall that was near their homes. So what they were doing is they were building the section. They could see their home from there. And they could know that this part of the wall that I'm building myself is going to protect me and my family. And that's so important for a large project like this, for people to have ownership, a vested interest, knowing that their work is going to matter. I mean, just imagine all the rocks that needed to be moved and all of everything, the debris that needed to be cleared. Remember when Nehemiah was looking and surveying the damage, there wasn't even enough room for his horse to go. All of that had to be cleaned up and the wall needed to be put back together. Nehemiah also, this was part of his plan, he also provided the materials that were needed. Because remember, he had gone to the king and the king said, you can have the time to go, but he said, hey, what about some resources? And the king said, yes, you can have those resources, and even sent him with a cavalry as he shows up, as he would have safe travel. Nehemiah had arranged all of that. And it's interesting, and you heard this in the passage that we read, that the Levites, the priests, the spiritual leaders of the area were praying and dedicating the work to God. As they finished the section, they would dedicate it to God. And it was all focused on them being the people of God and doing God's work. And then later, Nehemiah would also organize and coordinate the protection for the workers, because we're going to find next week in Nehemiah chapter 4 that there was opposition to the work. And so Nehemiah had a clear plan, and you could see it just incrementally, deliberately, intensely developing so that the work begins. And so we see the principle of coordination. There needs to be a leader leading the way. Now let's look at number two there on your message notes, the leadership principle of cooperation. I really like this word, cooperation. It not only starts with the same letter as coordination, but that when there's this principle that we can do more together than we can alone. And that's what's happening here. Back in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah cast a vision for rebuilding the wall, and the people caught the vision for rebuilding. Let me remind you what it says in verse 17 of chapter 2. It says, then I said to them, and this is Nehemiah casting the vision for rebuilding. Then I said to them, Nehemiah says, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. And then he says, come, and I can just imagine an impassioned plea, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And listen to their reply. This is the buy-in. This is the yes, let's do it kind of moment when they say to him, let's start rebuilding. So they began this good work. They said, we hear it. We understand it. Yes, we want to go. Let's go. Let's go for it. And then in chapter 3, of course, we see that it's happening. And so Nehemiah has cast this vision and the people have said yes. And what happens is people from all segments of Israel join the work. As you read chapter 3, It's families working together. It's sons and daughters putting their effort into rebuilding the wall. And it's something for everyone to do. Families got involved. Children got involved. Skilled and unskilled work. I'm not sure how skilled you can be at this type of work, but there's skill to it. It's got some frame to it, and they're putting it together one section at a time, and each family and group is responsible for their section. They have ownership. Listen, when I do a job, I like to be able to stand back and look at it and say, okay, that section is done. I've done my part, and it's come together. Everyone had their part in the wall. And verse 5 that we read shows that not everyone was willing to get involved in the job. So there was this cooperation going on, but not everyone would cooperate. Listen to verse 5 again. It says the next section, and again, he's going section by section, starting in the north, counterclockwise, back around to where he started. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervision. And so there was a group of people, these nobles in this particular section, that said, I'm not working. I'm not doing this. And we don't know exactly why that was, but it sure does seem to lead us to the idea that these nobles, they were above this work. And they wouldn't put their shoulders to the work under this type of supervision. They just chose not to participate. And listen, whenever God's doing something, there's going to be people that get on board and say, yes, I want to be a part of this. But there's also going to be people that are immovable even by God doing something, and they're going to stay and they're going to say, no, thank you, we're not going to be part of the work. And it occurs to me that this is similar to the invitation of salvation that's offered to all, right? Once you understand the gospel, the invitation of salvation is offered to everyone, and you can minister to someone, you can share the gospel with someone, and they just refuse. It's just not for them, right? I mean, that we're going to encounter that as we're faithfully pray for our ones. There are going to be some of them, hopefully not many of them, that just say, no, thank you. I don't want any part of that. There's going to be some that just don't cooperate, that just don't work together, or just don't get saved. And so this idea that we can accomplish more together than we can alone clearly comes out in this passage, that everyone had a spot, everyone had an assignment, and everybody worked except a few. And 100% is not something that you can really go for in this kind of building project, especially when you're dealing with nobles that won't submit to the authority, that type of leadership over them. There was one of the books that I'm reading to prepare for these messages is a book by O.S. Hawkins, previous pastor of First Baptist Dallas, Texas. He's now the leader of Guidestone, which is the annuity board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I have a number of his books, and he's written a book called The Jeremiah Code. And in that book, he reminds the reader, as an illustration of this principle of people cooperating together, of this skit that was on the Honeymooners. Now, the Honeymooners, for some of you, some of the younger people will not understand anything about the Honeymooners, right? The Jackie Gleason show. But some of our older members remember watching Honeymooners in prime time, right? I mean, so I understand that I'm using an illustration that's specifically for people that have experienced this show. But in this show, there's Ralph and there's Ed, and they have this weird relationship, and they're living there in New York, and there's this scene where Ralph is moving a large piece of furniture out of the apartment. And Ed comes along, and Ralph's having a hard time doing it by himself. And so Ed comes along and is going to help him move this large piece of furniture out of the house, and so he goes out on the balcony and comes around and gets on the other side of this large piece of furniture. And Jackie Gleason, he was always so intense and so flamboyant about everything that he did. It was always everything, always exaggerated and loud. Some of y'all understand what I'm saying. Others of you are going, Honeymoon, Ralph and Ed, I don't get this. But just hold on with me just a little longer. And so you got these two men, and they're wrestling this piece of furniture through the door of this small apartment. And then finally one of them says, I think it was that Ralph, that says to Ed, I just don't think we're going to be able to move this out. And then Ed says, move it out? I thought you were moving it in. And so what was happening is you have these two, and both of these guys were just over the top on physical, just falling all over the place and just exaggerated motions. So you've got these two guys, and they're working on the same piece of furniture, but one person's pulling in, and the other person's pulling out, and the job's not going to get done, right? And it is the same way as it works with anything that God has called the people of God to do, or even the church of God to do, is that we have to have some cooperation. We have to be going the same direction, or it's going to be very difficult to get there if we're all going in different directions. And that was a great example of that, and I appreciate y'all laughing a little bit at the end of that, because that made me feel good about not wasting all of that time setting up that whole story. So we see that there was coordination, that was the leadership of it. There was also cooperation, the people got involved in the work by families and by different things, and now we're going to see the leadership principle of commendation. The leadership principle of commendation, and that's someone that says, good job. We appreciate what you're doing and commending people for their work. And this is commendation and thankfulness kind of go together. Thankful for the work that's being done. And you can clearly see this in this whole chapter because this is a lengthy list here in chapter 3 that gives credit to each family, each group, and each individual for the contribution for the rebuilding effort. I mean, they're listed. This is the work. This is the people that did all of the work, and they make the scripture. Their names are contained in the Word of God. Many of these names never to be repeated again, but they're here in Nehemiah chapter 3 because Nehemiah was giving credit to each person for the work that they had done. Chapter 3 names 38 workers and 42 families or groups, names them by name, and many of them never mentioned in the Bible again. And it's important for us to give genuine commendation as the work continues, and that's encouraging. The work's going along, there's going to be a part where the wall gets about halfway, and the people are getting tired, and it needs that encouragement and that commendation to say, look what you've done, thank you for what you're doing, let's go for the whole thing. The commendation is so important. And then in verse number 20, there is a special commendation for Baruch. Listen to this in verse 20. It says, next to him, Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the entrance of the house of Elisheb, the high priest. And so here, Baruch's work is described as zealous, and he receives this appropriate commendation. He was working particularly hard, and Nehemiah says, when he gets to Baruch, he can't help but say, he was going after it. I mean, he was zealously, he was working hard after this thing. See, it's this appropriate commendation that really makes a difference. It encourages people. It helps people, and this is a leadership principle of commendation, of being thankful for the work that someone does. You know, many times we're known for what we need, rather than thanking people for what they do. And I certainly work hard against this, and I apologize if it's ever felt like this, but the only time the preacher calls me is when he needs something, right? And we do that. I mean, all of us do that, that sometimes it's when we need something, not to say thank you for what you did, but it's when we need something that we do that, and we have to work hard at making sure that we're thanking people for what they do. We're giving them commendation for what they've done. And that having a thankful heart and that commendation goes together because we're thankful for the people that are doing things. And I actually thought at this moment about some people within our church that I would take this opportunity to thank for their work. But I realized quickly that there would not be time for me to go through all of our deacons and our team leaders and the people that are working hard within the life of our church. Listen, we have a structure of leadership, a team structure of leadership, and many of those teams are getting the work done. And so if I started to name people, I know that I would leave them out. But I want you to know as your pastor that we're accomplishing more as a church together than I could by myself. Because this church is not about me. Remember the song that Christy set up with the story of why it was sung. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about our desires. It's not about shining a light on us. It's about us shining the light on Jesus and having appropriate focus. And so those are the three leadership principles that we would have missed if we would have skipped over Nehemiah chapter 3. The principle of coordination. A leader leading the way, a principle of cooperation, people getting involved and working together, not against each other, and that principle of commendation, saying, good job, keep going. And those are some solid leadership principles that we find right here in Nehemiah chapter 3 from the Word of God, which leads up to these application questions. Where are you in your life, in your sphere of influence, where are you that is in need of rebuilding? What sphere of life, what relationship, what working vocational setup, what church-related thing, where are you that is in need of rebuilding? Because we have to understand, we have to evaluate. We've been talking about that the last couple steps. We need to evaluate where we are. And then we need to take specific incremental steps towards rebuilding, or it'll just stay the same. Listen, if Nehemiah didn't take these leadership principles and put them into practice, the walls would have stayed down decade after decade. It's not until somebody applies these godly leadership position principles and goes to work. I mean, there's work to it. So where are you that's in need of rebuilding? Where are you personally? And then the next question, I think this is a great question. Are you at your place in the wall? Are you at your place on the wall? Right? I mean, you knew there in Jerusalem who was building the wall and who was not building the wall. Right? I mean, there were the workers and there were the watchers. And we have to evaluate our own self, that we have to get involved in what God's doing. Remember the experiencing God principle, that he invites us to join him in his work. Now we can sit back and we can watch, and we do that frequently, or we can get involved. And the people that sat back and watched in Nehemiah chapter 3, there were some things that they missed. They missed the blessing of God for doing the work of God. There's always a blessing when you do what God's calling you to do. Even though it's hard work, there's always a blessing. I think about Vacation Bible School and the long hours that we spend taking care of the children and the fun that we have right here in this room. And it's hard work, it's long. I mean, by Thursday, everybody's just dragging in, and we have to try to caffeinate people up to get them to finish strong, right? And there's always a blessing, and we always receive more than it feels like we give, because there's always a blessing doing what God wants us to do, and we're not just watching. So people that just watch, they miss the blessing of God in their life, even though it may be hard. But these people, they missed having their name recorded in the scripture in Nehemiah chapter 3. Wouldn't that be cool? And this may sound proud, but you know, as you're introducing yourself to someone else, you know, hi, my name's Sean, I'm the pastor at First Baptist Monticello, and my name is in the scripture on this page. And I would, if this was me, okay, and my name was recorded like in Nehemiah chapter 3, I'd keep a little Nehemiah, copy of Nehemiah in my pocket. And so when I'd introduce people, I'd say, you know what, I helped rebuild the wall. See right here, Nehemiah knew my name and he put it right there, right? They missed that. I mean, they could have worked. It only took 52 days, but their name could have been recorded in the very word of God for eternity, but they missed it. Those nobles of Tekoa said, no, we're not gonna participate. We're not gonna listen to those people tell us what to do. I mean, it's just a different attitude of someone that says, I clearly see what God's doing, and I'm gonna get involved. And I'm going to be a part of what God's doing, and I'm going to receive the blessing, and I know that Jesus knows what I did. I know that my Heavenly Father appreciates the work that I do. And so the invitation today, before we get to that, I want to mention this acrostic that I ran across. It's a modified acrostic for the word team, and it is Together We Accomplish More. Many of you have heard that before, but that speaks to that cooperation nature, that together as a church, we're going to accomplish more than any of us can alone. And it's not about us watching our team leaders or our deacons or our pastor or our staff be about the work that God wants us to do. It's us joining together and being a part of what God wants to do. And God wants to do that in our individual lives. He wants to be a part of the rebuilding process in your life. Remember, we talked about we're all going to spend some time building or rebuilding something in this next year, and we can follow these principles in Nehemiah to accomplish those things, and God also has some things for us as a church to accomplish together. And together, we're always going to accomplish more than any one of us could alone. So the invitation today is for us to take some time thinking about what in our life needs rebuilding. What in our lives need building back up? Maybe it's our relationship with God. Maybe it's a relationship with a loved one or someone else. What needs rebuilding? And then think about, am I in the rebuilding process? Am I taking my place at the wall to get the work done? Also, I mentioned during the message about some people will not receive Christ, even though they hear about Jesus over and over again. And if there's never been a time in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, listen, today could be the day. You could trust him. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for not his sin, but for our sins. And we are a congregation of believers that believe that Jesus paid it all, that we owe everything to him, and he offers us that gift of salvation. And if you've never reached down in faith and taken that gift of salvation from him, today could be your day. And then you could be a part of what God's doing in the life of our church, and also that you could be a part of this rebuilding. God is in the rebuilding business. And so we're going to have a word of prayer, and then this is going to be God's invitation time for you. So would you please stand as we pray together? Father, we want to thank you for these vivid leadership examples from the book of Nehemiah. And Father, I pray that we would be able to apply those principles to our lives and to the places that you've given us influence. And Father, I also pray for the person in this room that may not have a relationship with you, Father, that you wouldn't leave them alone, that you would show your love to them, and that they would respond to you in faith and say, I need Jesus today. So Father, we thank you and we give you praise. And Father, it's not about us, it's about you. And we thank you that we can be about something bigger than ourselves. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.